Inside an apartment complex in Texas has taken quite a turn. Police now say they were found with gunshot wounds days after they were reported missing. A medical examiner has yet to confirm that it was the bodies of Savannah Soto and Matthew Guerrera, but the victims' ages match, and police also say an unborn child was among the victims. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus.
What we're looking at right now is a very, very perplexing crime scene, and detectives right now are looking at this as a possible murder.
Soto was a week overdue to deliver her baby and was scheduled to have an induced labor at a hospital Saturday night. More pro-Palestine protests block another major airport. First, it was JFK in New York, now LAX in Southern California. Dozens have been arrested in both locations. As for air travel, does not seem to be all that bad, as CBS News Miami's Nakia Carrero reports.
One of the busiest holiday seasons in what some are saying is years. Miami International Airport is expected to see nearly 3 million passengers this holiday season, some already returning home.
Overall, it was very good. It was a good travel day, so we're happy. It was a little less crowded. Normally, the Aruba Airport was more crowded. It was not that crowded today.
White House officials are in Mexico to address the migrant crisis along the southern border. CBS's Nicole Scanga with more on the meeting with Mexican officials.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas arrived in Mexico City ahead of a meeting with Mexican President Andres Lopez Obrador. They're hoping to push Obrador into doing more to stem the sharp rise in the number of migrants reaching the border the U.S. shares with Mexico. Arrivals topped 10,000 on multiple days last week, and U.S. border communities are overwhelmed with the growing needs.
The New York Times is crying foul over the use of its content in training artificial intelligence. CBS News business reporter Jason Brooks.
The Times states in the lawsuit that Microsoft and OpenAI have avoided spending the billions of dollars that the Times has invested in creating that content, and that the firms use the content without permission or compensation.
Apple, meantime, has won a temporary reprieve in the legal battle over its Apple Watch product, with an appeals court now ordering a pause on a ban of the product that went into effect just yesterday. Tom Smothers of the Smothers Brothers has died.
This is the CBS official CBS censorship.
Tom and Dick Smothers broke new ground with their hit show, The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, which aired on CBS in the 1960s. Tom Smothers was 86. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. As this year winds down, this means a new year to file your taxes. Here's Brittany Merlot with some tips.
If you are a homeowner and made any home improvements, including a new door replacement, water heaters, or solar panels, you could be eligible for an energy credit. Last year, applicants were able to receive up to $500, and this year, people could get up to $1,200. Tax experts say, with this, you'll get a bigger refund or owe less. January 1st will mark the beginning of a new tax year, and April 15th is the deadline for filing your taxes. Be sure to talk with your tax advisor about this credit and look for a 5695 form.
There's Christmas break public skating at Skate City in Wisconsin Rapids tomorrow. They're holding an all-you-can-eat and drink special with a price of admission from 1 to 3:30 p.m. It's only $6 for admission, and roller skates are a buck. Pre-purchase tickets for guaranteed entrance. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sunshine is back. These mostly sunny skies are brightening our day today as high temperatures climb to the upper 30s. However, tonight, clouds start to increase and chances of rain roll in. It also brings a mix of snow with it as lows crash to the upper 20s. Currently, it's 37.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 27th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson and Lisa Rose, part of their PR team over at the ODC. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now, we have our good friend, Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel with us. Lance, good to see you.
Good morning, James. Good to be here on a bright, sunshiny, highly unusual day here recently.
Yeah, we should mark this on the calendar. We got sunshine in late December here. It's a noteworthy thing. Appreciate that, Lance. And mentioning that, because I want to talk weather with you. Actually, that's where I wanted to start things off. We actually were talking a little bit just now in our pregame that the weather conditions, while maybe not great for some activities, outdoor activities, budget-wise has been helping us a bit. Is that the case?
Yeah, you know, I don't think people often realize the scope of county government, but how that intertwines with not only all levels of government, but everything that goes on out there in the private economy. So, you know, everybody's looked out the window. It obviously rained on Christmas. It hasn't exactly been the greatest combination of weather events for winter sports activities. Mm-hmm. You know, on a snowmobile, if you want to go skiing, you know, even Granite Peak was closed here recently. It impacts the economy greatly. And, you know, so goes the county to some extent, as goes the economy, because sales tax funds a lot of what we do. So some of those places, hotels, ski areas, those retailers who sell snowmobiles or other winter sports activities have been certainly hampered this winter, as well as our winter sports operations, whether that be up at Powers Bluff in the Tube Hills up there, or whether it be our cross-country ski trails, those types of operations. So we get hit there. Mm-hmm. You know, the economy gets hit. But by the same token, we're not plowing a lot of snow, and we're not spreading a lot of salt. So there's, you know, there's that part of it. It also reduces accidents. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the emergency response and some of the other things that that counties are responsible for and that we pay for. So it's, to some extent, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
If you said to me, what's the biggest impact to the county when we have weather like that, it's probably our forestry operations. So much of the timber that's harvested in our county comes from areas that are a little more wet, where they need frozen conditions to get in, and that can contribute anywhere, you know, up to $500,000 a year to our budgets. That's hindered greatly when we don't have frozen ground conditions. So, good and bad.
Right. And I don't know if the two even each other out or not. That's a pretty hard thing to figure out, especially when we're not talking complete data here. One of the interesting things that I found in the last couple of months, Lance, even going back to last year, I remember this, how they're dealing with this up north. Where they're so dependent on this and the weather, and how they're, some businesses are kind of countering and trying to find ways around it to work with the weather. But I mean, that's just it. With so many problems that you face in government or in situations like this, it can be a situation where we make a law or we do this and we can fix it. There's no fixing Mother Nature. There's certainly environmental stuff, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and you know, we were hand in glove with the private sector. You know, mm-hmm. one of my goals always with government is to get out of the way so the private sector can thrive.
Sure, sure.
That being said, some of those businesses up there are totally dependent on snowfall, winter activity. You know, if you have a whether it be a hotel or a restaurant, bar along those snowmobile trails, I mean, those aren't even open. And frankly, you know, looking at the weather forecast, there's not a really good chance any of those get open by mid-January, even with the, you know, in the best case. So, you know, tremendously hindered. And then when those don't succeed and, you know, the following years you have less places that are open, less places to go, that tends to trend to less travel into those areas because there's less opportunity. So, yeah, we're fully aware of that. And at the same time, you know, they work around, you know, specifically to a business. I mean, a lot of the ones that sell downhill skiing equipment, cross country, also sell, you know, other silent sport things, bicycles,
right.
and other things. So,
right.
you know, hopefully that offsets some of it.
Yeah.
You know, your question on direct relation, you know, as a county, we probably save a little bit of money when the weather's good. We also have less, you know, injury, less police response, things like that we have to deal with accidents. But when you look at how it impacts the entire economy, the entire region, yeah, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And the further north I get, you know, once you get north of, let's say, Highway 64, you totally dependent on winter. Mm-hmm. And it's been a tough winter right now for them.
Yeah, yeah. And here's hoping not only that those ideas to counter this weather work, but that we do get some snow soon, that we do get some of this weather that we need for so many of our businesses and our entertainment out here.
Well, it's a little depressing, you know, when you're listening to Christmas music. And, those songs that have the snow falling or the white Christmas, and you're looking out the window and it's 54 and raining. It's a little bit depressing.
You're so right about that, too. I heard White Christmas, I think Christmas Eve, it was playing on the radio. And it was just, it felt like it was taunting me. It felt like a little bit of that. Lance, I want to talk a little bit about the past year and the things that the board, the things that Wood County have accomplished, the things that we can hang our hat on. I say something like that to you, and it's tough to ask you, hey, what did we do in last year in January? I'm not asking specifics necessarily, but off the top of your head, are there some things that you immediately think of with that question?
I think the first thing that I look at is the cooperation, the cohesiveness of our board in general. Mm-hmm. We'll have, you know, disagreements on issues, but once those are settled, if a resolution comes forth to the board or an ordinance passes, you typically have full board support. And that's unusual to some extent. As I travel around the country, I hear different representatives, they're in shock when they hear that I say I talked to the sheriff or I spoke to my legislator or that the board is generally in agreement or we talk to each other and don't yell. See, I think one of the greatest accomplishments is the fact that we have a really good board in Wood County. We work well not only internally, but we work well with all our partners, you know, the cities, towns, villages out there. I think that's overall, when you look at everything, that's probably one of the greatest accomplishments. And then as you look forward, you know, what are the big things that have happened this year? Well, one is obviously we're building a huge addition to the courthouse, you know, a jail to replace the one that's, you know, was built part of it in the 50s and just obsolete. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge project. And although we had some supply chain issues early and you had inflation, inflationary pressures that caused some huge increases in cost, since that's, kind of been absorbed into the process, we're on schedule, we're on budget, things are moving along. And the funny part is when I have counterparts in from other counties, as they've looked at their needs as they go forward, and we were one of the first to take the leap, they're going, I can't believe you're building a jail for only, and tongue-in-cheek when I say this, for $100 million.
Right.
Because they're looking at $200, $250 right now because they didn't get ahead of it. And we were lucky enough to bond that project, the vast majority of it, 2% roughly. The blended rate comes in at about 3 as we finished up the financing at the end of it. So the jail was huge. Kind of statewide and globally, the shared revenue package that the counties pushed for forever and finally came to fruition, where we're going to get a portion of the state sales tax, which allows us to, you know, in some ways deal with those inflationary pressures and increased costs as they go along. Because, like I said, county government's huge. And when you, I say the scope of it's huge. When you look at the fact that, you know, you run the jails and you have the courts up there and, you know, you have Child Protective Services and you have the veterans programs and you run the treasurer's office, register of deeds, clerk of court. It's a big operation. And there was no way to fund the increases in costs there. All you have to do is go fill up your gas tank, and you see what that is, or you get your heating bill. That's not exactly a lot of fun right now, electric. So shared revenue, a huge part of the success this year. That was something that every county was involved in as we work together with the legislature to get that done. And then, recreationally, I look at some of the things, some of the progress we made up at Powers Bluff with the new mountain biking facility up there, the improvements to some of the parks, those have been fantastic. As we move forward, our health department, as we tailed out of some of the, COVID restrictions that were there, and we look forward to how we are going to spend some of our ARPA money, our recovery money, which we have spent very little of. We took a wait-and-see attitude and what would happen with broadband and roads, funding for highways, that type of issues. We still have a fairly significant war chest as we move forward, where we're looking at federally qualified health centers, which would handle a big part of the problem that we have with some of the issues in this area for medical care. Child care, big issue. We're looking at allocating a lot of dollars to that issue. And then the other one, and they're dealing with it in some of the municipalities right now. I know Nacoosa has some stuff on the table as well, housing. Housing is a major problem right now. So as we move forward, those are, let's not call them problems, let's call them opportunities. As we look in that direction, those are things we're looking to accomplish as we go forward, but it's things that we worked on for the last year and tried to prioritize as we move forward. Because although we are reactionary, there's emergencies that occur hopefully not today, but right. most days, you still have to prepare for the future.
I want to get into 2024 as a separate thing. I'd like to actually go back a little bit and talk about 2023 and some of the things we've accomplished here and take a this isn't about taking a victory lap. This is more about not only taking all this in, but we don't count the wins enough in life. And I don't think there's a bigger issue in America than childcare. I firmly believe that because it is so attached to so many other problems and issues and situations. So certainly in Wisconsin, that's something that we need to get hammered out. And we definitely need our politicians to start caring more and more about that and working harder and harder on that. I know because I talked to Teston and Krug about this once a month, and neither of them, and not just them, but nobody has an answer necessarily for this.
Nope.
I think that housing is the other big one. I think that is right there. I couldn't agree with you more about that, Lance. But I do want to focus on the jail for a second. For one, because it's been such a long process, longer than I've lived here, they've been talking about building that new jail. And in 2023, it finally happened. Shovels went into the ground. Even with the holdups, like you mentioned, we are still on pace here. We're still on budget. That's a win we should all be celebrating in this community. And especially if you look at what's going on in Stevens Point. My daughter lives there. I've got friends in Point. I've thought of moving there at times in my life. I love Point. I don't want anything to get this twisted with that. But you look at the issues that they are having, the miscommunication or whatever it is between mayor and board or people and board and mayor, all of these things, it doesn't seem like they can get anything done almost. Whether it's a new jail or it's a highway or any of these things they're trying to do over there. So I don't think you have to look very far to see a comparison of how we're doing things and how things are going here compared to that. And I'm not at all talking badly about Point. I'm just saying perspective goes a long way.
Yeah, well, you know, whether it's cooperation or communication, you know, when those things break down, you don't make a lot of progress. And that's one of the things I touched on real early. You know, we have those conversations with the other local leaders. You know, we try to make sure that those building blocks are in place. Mm-hmm. So when we need to move the needle on something fairly large, you know, you're not walking in the office and saying, I need. There has to be a relationship where all of those partners know that if there's an ask, it's probably very, very important as we move forward. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a big win, but, you know, just as a cooperative type situation. The city came to us at the county, and you had a foundry that burnt down in mm-hmm. Wisconsin Rapids years ago, and it's been there for years. It's been an eyesore, mm-hmm. and nothing's occurred there. And we ended up taking that in a tax deed situation, and the city said, we have a use for it. So I said, you know what? We're going to give it to you, basically. Do something with it. Build some tax base. Build some likely housing. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been determined, but based on the availability, the desirability, and how quickly the other housing units that were built right there went, I'm guessing that might be a future use. So, yeah, that's huge. In fact, I had some friends in Portage County. They were actually over here to tour our new courtroom. That was mm-hmm. another one. You know, we have a fourth branch of our circuit courts with Judge Giebert up there. They came over. They toured. Some of those officials also toured our new jail facilities mm-hmm. that's getting built. And they said, how do you ever get this done? Can we borrow your committee for a year? I said, well, I might be able to lend them to you, but you don't get them. But yeah, you know, those are the things. And whether it be, you know, Scott Krug or Pat Teston, you know, those people in the legislature that we work with from this area specifically, they're always there. They're always willing to listen. Now, does that mean every time on every single issue we're going to be in total agreement? The answer is no. Mm. And more often than not, though, I think all levels of government, we're in agreement on what needs to be done. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion on how we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, the money that was rolled out through ARPA is kind of a windfall to some extent. Mm-hmm. It's money that we would have never had. We want to spend it wisely. And at the end of the day, we want to spend it on things where I'll call them legacy projects. None of ours has been used operationally,
and
it's not going to be. I want to be able to say, we did this, we built that. I don't mean you're going to put a plaque on it with somebody's name on it.
I get you.
But at the end of the day, somebody's going to look back 20 years from now and go, yeah, that's mm-hmm. what they did with that. They didn't waste it. So those are the things we talked about a little bit as we go forward. But that's the past year. We've been dealing with those issues And how do we make that better as we move forward?
It's so hard sometimes to try to plan and look for the next year when you are still, you know, working on so many projects from the previous year. And that's everybody, whether it's in your personal life, your job, your business, or local government. It can be a difficult thing. So as you're looking at 2024, you mentioned the war chest that we have, things like that. What are some of the headlines you think going into 2024 as far as needs or things that we are going to be trying to accomplish here in Wood County?
Well, you know, you touched on the most emergent thing from my perspective is probably the child care issue, because the entire economy evolves somewhat revolves around that, probably evolves from that too, but certainly revolves around that. That second income doesn't occur if parents don't have the ability to have child care, get that person out. If they don't have the second income, you don't have housing affordability. All of those things kind of tie together. And then there's the point, too, is with, and I don't mean just child care, good child care, where those younger people are not only safe and cared for, but educated. So when they get into the school system, you know, they're ready to go. I mean, that's going to be a huge issue. How do we continue to you know, provide infrastructure, you know, whether that be improve our roads to make it conducive to businesses coming to the area? Because at the end of the day, it's all about, to some extent, demographics. You know, we can't have that, you know, you've heard referred to many times, you know, the brain drain, or, you know, that movement of our young, you know, educated professionals out of the area. How do we keep them here? How do we bring them back? How do we provide not only that initial education, but those lifelong experiences through our, you know, two-year campuses up in Marshfield or our technical colleges? You know, it's, I used an example the other day, and it was repeated in another meeting I was at. I said, I don't want to just teach somebody to weld, for instance, at the tech school. I want to teach them to own the business and to run it, to have 100 people working for them. So as we move forward, it's so interrelated. You know, I always use the example, you know, you pull on this end of the string, the other end, it kind of comes along, but it's more like pulling on a spider web. When you pull on something on this end, it shakes everything, and you move forward. And it is like households. I know, or I'm pretty sure I have my wife probably listening to this show this morning. You know, it starts in your household. And the same thing that you look at from a budget perspective when you're at home, you deal with in government. It doesn't make sense to buy a new couch or carpeting if the roof's leaking. So there's some things that you have to take care of that are emergent as you move forward. And I think if more government officials took that same perspective into the boardroom, that, you know, what would I do? What's best for a family to some extent or a unit is probably also best for a community, which is probably best for the whole county and the state and the federal government as well.
Speaking with Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel, and want to remind everybody that the Wood County Board meetings are usually online. You can catch them at our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's website on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to their page. I bring this up in part, Lance, because when I was talking to people about 2023 and things that they were proud of locally, locals, people that are proud of our board or proud of some of the accomplishments our board has made or our local government has done, one of the first things that comes across that I hear from people, maybe they don't say it this way, but overall transparency. They really appreciate that. Not every county has that. I think we're a little spoiled in that regard, and thankfully so. So that is something that I think when we talk about things, communication and how important that is, the transparency of that and being in people understanding what's happening in these board meetings, even if they can't go there, goes a long way.
If you don't notice what we're doing, we're probably doing a pretty good job.
Right.
Because we're being transparent. You know, you're being reactive to the people in the community, what they see and what they want. You've heard me say this on your show 100 times. You know, there's on our county board, there's 19 people. There's 75,000 people out there in the community. If you don't think there's, you know, 74,900 and, you know, 81 other good ideas out there, that's probably not, you know, the way it goes. And we solicit those thoughts and those ideas. And then if we're not in your way, if we're cooperative and if we're transparent, you know, I always talk about that, you know, be cooperative, be communicative, be transparent. You tend to get along, you get more done.
Yeah. When we're talking about 2024 or any year going forward too, I'm not doing my job if I don't bring up the mill. And if I also don't bring up that we know the mill is an issue, and our people in positions know the mill is an issue. If there is news to break, we will break it. We will tell you. We're in such a standstill with this situation right now. One of the things that I'm curious about, Lance, especially doing my homework and seeing similar things going on in rural communities, one of the ways that they get things done is often bringing the masses in, bring national attention to a story, or trying to get local news to talk about a story more often, to put public pressure on a company. It oftentimes seems it's the only card to play. Are we at that spot with this?
We probably need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the interesting part about this is, you know, when we talked the mill, which was integral to the, you know, economy in mm-hmm. certainly Wisconsin Rapids, I can tell you in my conversations with other government leaders is we don't always know what's going on, mm-hmm. or we find out almost after the fact.
Yeah.
No matter how hard we try to open those channels and have that communication, there are some, you know, pieces that I understand the background are currently moving,
yeah.
that something might occur, and, you know, and it's not going to be a papermaking mm-hmm. facility to the best of my knowledge as we move forward. But there is some movement, and yet nobody will tell me exactly what that is. And
yeah.
part of that's intellectual property. Obviously, they mm-hmm. you know, they don't want to, you know,
show their hand,
let that out there. You know, at the same time, we deal with some of the same situations with the huge medical community we have up in Marshfield, which is one of the leading medical providers in the country, but has faced some real financial challenges this mm-hmm. year. So we deal with that, you know, and then everything in between. But right. you know, when you look. You know, generally in the past, you got the medical community up in Marshfield as a huge employer. You mm-hmm. look at, you know, the paper industry down here. And although we have a couple of mills right here that are going great guns and doing a yeah. tremendous job, we have a lot of building, a lot of space, and a lot of our commerce tied up in that, you know, I could name 100. The old consolidated mill, you know, yeah, Stora yeah, Enso, yeah. Verso. I always said the best job in Wisconsin Rapids in the last 20 years was being a sign maker. Because every time there's a change in ownership, they change all of the signs.
Well said.
You know, and it's kind of amazing. I had the ability or the opportunity, not ability, I guess, to tour some of those facilities recently as they're looking at some, you know, hopefully some change and some mm-hmm. use of that facility. But it almost looks like, you know, these old movies where you see something happen in a community and everybody just walked out and locked the doors.
Yeah.
I mean, the computers are there, all the papers, the mm-hmm. the pencils, everything that would be there the day you operated the business is still sitting right there, except there's nobody there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of eerie.
It is, yeah. Extent. You go over the Viaduct and you take it a look, and it just, because I go to Point at least two times a month, three times a month, and going over that thing, and it's not so much an eyesore to me as it is that, what you're saying there, yeah. yeah.
And I know our, you know, our current mayor, soon to be outgoing mayor, you know, Shane Blazer, who's done an outstanding job, has worked on this
yes.
Tirelessly. And I'm sure our new mayor mm-hmm. will probably be the number one issue ahead of them because, again, impacts tax revenue, that tax base, if it doesn't impact, if it isn't allocated to a business, it ends up being a burden to the homeowner.
Yeah.
Because you still have to run the county, the business. And the dollars to run that have to come from somewhere. And since we don't make widgets, you know, it yeah. comes from property tax. We'd much rather lay off some of that, you know, to the business community, not just the homeowner.
As we're wrapping up and looking forward to talking to you again next year and everything, Lance, I always like to mention to people that we are always looking for good board members, whether it is a part of the Wood County Board or any local business or nonprofit in your area. They are always looking for good board members. Be a part of these things. You don't want to be – nobody makes a play on the sidelines. You got to get in the game. You got thoughts. You got feelings. You put them to work. Make use of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, without – you know, government – does a lot of things. There's a lot of the programs that we run, but without the charitable, fraternal, you know, organizations out there that you especially notice them around the holiday time, you know, whether it be those that are, you know, food dependent on those or some of the other services they provide, they are integral to what we do. So step up, and then there are opportunities, you know, if you don't want to be an elected official, there's a lot of appointments that I make every year to different boards that I think a lot of people in this community might be more than willing to serve on and would find they make a difference in their own community.
Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimble joining us. Thanks again for the time, Lance. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, my number and my email are both on the website. Feel free to give me a call. Hey, by the way, if you give me a call, leave your name and number because I do not have caller ID. And it's always a guess when they say, hey, call me. Yeah, and I'm going, I don't have a name or a number. So do that.
Struggling there with that one. Appreciate you, Lance. The website, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Happy New Year to you and yours. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, James. Really appreciate the opportunity.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
One. Purdy throws over the middle, picked off.
Moore.
Backside pressure, down he goes.
Game.
To the end zone, touchdown, Braylon Allen.
The Badgers.
The
Tigers.
Live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, it's the ReliaQuest Bowl. Join us Monday. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There may be no snow on the ground, but there are still ways to keep active outdoors. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Winter weather enthusiasts are being delayed due to the lack of snow. This means people are trying to find other ways to spend their time outside this winter. Fat biking is one of the ways people can get their exercise in while enjoying the outdoors. Local shop workers have been seeing more interested riders, as the sport keeps many skiers and snowboarders active with the winter months with little to no snow.
Buckhorn State Park in the CETA has been selected to receive a grant for an outdoor wheelchair. The grant comes from Ford Bronco Wild Fund and is administered by the National Association of State Park Directors. The wheelchair will join Buckhorn's fleet of adaptive equipment, including cross-country sit skis, an adaptive kayak, and a beach wheelchair. Friends of Buckhorn State Park will manage the reservations. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The sunshine is back. These mostly sunny skies are brightening our day today as high temperatures climb to the upper 30s. However, tonight, clouds start to increase and chances of rain roll in. It also brings a mix of snow with it as lows crash to the upper 20s. Currently, it's 37.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Hey Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 27th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we are joined right now by Callie Johnson from our friends over the ODC. Callie, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate the time. I should mention hello from my little brother. I was supposed to mention that. Shout out to Nick. Yeah, I was supposed to mention that, I think, like two times ago you joined us or something. So getting it in at the last minute. But
that's all right. We're still in the same year, so yeah, at least you didn't wait till the next time.
Right. So far, we're in 2023, but one of the things we want to do today with you, Callie, and the ODC is talk a little bit about 2023, but really focus on 2024 and things we're really looking forward to and we're excited about. As we are wrapping up the year, I would like to talk about the annual appeal and get start there if you don't mind.
Okay. Yes. Well, first, I should start out with a huge thank you to our community, the clients, individuals who we support, Our staff of, gosh, 200,
I wow, think, is at it 200?
ODC wow. now. Just for a wonderful year, mm-hmm. for another year of just a lot of growth and excitement and adapting to changes and starting new programs. It really just was another great year. And so I do have to start out with that thank you to everybody who's a part of ODC in one way or another.
Yeah. Kelly, I don't mean to interrupt or anything, but you bring up something that I hadn't really thought much about before. We do so many of these year-end reviews on the show here, and a lot of that conversation is we're wrapping up the year. But we don't get a chance to do this with nonprofits very often, and certainly keeping the lights on is important at the ODC, but it's you gauge it so differently, I imagine. Your accomplishments for the year, what went well that year. When talking about the clients at the ODC or something like that, like, there's no small accomplishments. There's no small, like, it's got to be such a different perspective, I would imagine, than a business looking at it and looking at, well, we finished in the black, or we, you know, something right. like that. That's right. interesting.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when we, Julie always says, our president, when we have the privilege to support over 1,000 individuals who need it, and as long as we're always able and willing to say yes mm-hmm. when it comes to helping somebody else, like, that's a win for us.
Yeah.
And we make it work no matter if we're in the black or not.
Right. It's just really interesting to me. I appreciate that note. That's interesting there.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at all the things we are thankful for 2023. Big thank you to this community, to the clients there, to your staff, to your team, to the ODC in general.
Absolutely, yes. And like I said, ODC supports over 1,000 people mm-hmm. annually.
That's amazing.
It's a big number. Now across 13 counties in
wow.
Wisconsin.
That's...
You know, most people know us, and it is still our home base here in Rapids and mm-hmm. Marshfield and Stevens Point, those areas. But we have expanded to the Northwoods and Merrill, to the Wautoma, Washera area. And we're just excited to continue to grow programs, and we couldn't do it without people who yeah. support us. So that's the thank you. But mm-hmm. yes, it is annual appeal time. There's still a few days left, obviously, mm-hmm. in 2023. And so hopefully listeners have already received our annual appeal letter mm-hmm. or seen some messages about it on our Facebook or social media channels. Or maybe gotten an email about the story. But this year we highlighted a community member from the Marshfield area, Sherry Meisner, who signed up as our first Better Together friend in the Marshfield area. And Better Together is a program, an ODC program, that matches adults with disabilities to volunteers from the community to form an inclusive friendship based on similar interests. So we had Sherry sign up. Yes, I'm willing to be a Better Together friend. We had Eva, a young lady who we support, looking for a new friendship. And it turned out they had a lot of similar interests. Mm. Sporting being one major thing, the Green Bay Packers, nice. Friday Night Lights. also baking and gardening. Sherry lives on a farm, so picking corn on their farm. So it was just a really great story that we highlighted to show what a strong friendship can be built on similar interests. And we just need more people like Sherry who are willing to, I don't even want to say give of your time, because these are things you're already doing.
Yeah.
You're in just building in an extra person. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to give it a shot and see how it goes, that's what we're looking for. So we really wanted to highlight, yes, thank you for all the ways that you give to ODC through checks and cash mm-hmm. and credit card transactions and ACH withdrawals. Mm-hmm. Like, those are big deals, and we yeah. really appreciate it. But there's also other ways to give when it comes to your time and making that connection with somebody. It's just so meaningful and can go a really long way in their lives.
Kelly, you mentioned the annual appeal. Is the cutoff for that? Is that the end date, the end of the year, the last day of the year?
It is the last day of the year, yes. But signing up to be a volunteer is something you don't have to do just this year. I mean, you can think about it and let us know in the new year as well. So we just really want to, everybody has their busyness and their day-to-day world. We totally get and understand that. We just want people to read the story and realize what an impact it can make in somebody's life. And it can be an hour of your time a month. I mean, it can be, it doesn't have to be extreme
measures. I start every morning doing this job, getting updating myself on world news and looking at local news and state news and that. And it, the news can be a little dragging sometimes. So you need a palate cleanser. Your newsletter or your Facebook page oftentimes is that for me. I'll go to the ODC newsletter. I'll go to your Facebook page and immediately start smiling, immediately get my palate cleanser and feel a lot better. It's good for those reasons alone, let alone all the information and different volunteer opportunities or different things that you can find out about the ODC through that newsletter. You guys do a great job with that.
Thank you. Yeah, we really do try to just tell our story, and that in itself, or these the stories that happen on a day-to-day basis. That's all we are, our storytellers, and it's often positive good news. And like you just said, I didn't even think about it really that way from the volunteer perspective. If you are the person agreeing to participate in this friendship, you'll get something out of it That's not often what volunteers are looking for, but there's just no way you'll walk away without feeling good.
It's very similar to me that with Meals on Wheels. There's a very similar thing to me, a feeling to me about that, where I did Meals on Wheels for a couple of months, and I don't feel like I worked one second. Right. I don't feel like I did any like I oftentimes used to joke to the people I'd pick up the meals from and everything. Like I feel like in some ways I should be paying you because it feels like one of those situations where I learned and gained so much from talking to those individuals dropping those meals off.
Right.
I know I've talked to enough people that have volunteered or worked with the ODC before. It's the same feeling. You touched on something really cool there, I think, about the not giving of your time, because you're sharing your time. You're sharing these things with people.
Right.
That's a key part of this, I think, and a fun part of this too for individuals. So if people want to find out more about the Better Together program, are there ways for them to do that?
Yes. So we have a volunteer page on our website, odcinc.com/volunteer. There's a simple form that you can fill out. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to you. You can always call 424-2712. I'm sorry, that's 715-424-2712. Or chat us on Facebook if that's easier for you. Mm-hmm. Stop in, honestly, at either any of our locations, and we'll definitely make that connection and figure out the best fit for that person who's looking to volunteer.
They understand they live in this community. They know they have busy lives as well, the individuals that work over at the ODC. So when it comes to volunteering and you looking at your schedule, I don't know when I can fit this in, or they're not going to be able to work with my schedule. They'll work with you. They'll figure it out. And you know, if they can, they are certainly going to work very hard to try to make that happen.
Right.
So please do reach out.
I think Sherry thought the same thing in who we highlighted in the letter. And then when she really thought about it, she's like, well, I'm already going. She likes football. I have a son who plays football on Friday nights. So I'm already going to his game. I'm just going to bring, you know, Eva along to enjoy the experience with. Same with, you know, making lasagna or picking corn in the field or gardening. Mm-hmm. Like, there were things that she's doing every day already. Yeah. And so now she just has a friend to do it with, which makes it better.
We have so many, God, that's so well said, because we have a lot of individuals in this community that are, in the senior population, or even if they're not in a lonely situation or by themselves, or maybe don't have as much interacting with others that they would like or something. You have that group of people, and then you have the clientele at the ODC. This is a perfect match. This really works for our community. This strengthens our community.
100%. Yes.
That's a very cool program.
Yeah.
I look forward to talking more and more about that in 2024. And that segues us into to next year and looking at some of the fun things coming up with our ODC.
Yes. So we are planning our calendar of events for 2024. And I can share some dates. and a little bit of information.
Get your calendars out.
Wrapping up a few details, but we're getting started. So this will be the third year that we are hosting a opportunity for F-O-R-E, Hope, golf benefit at Sand Valley Resort. We, as many people know, we opened a mental health clinic in 2022, an outpatient clinic right here at our Huntington Avenue ODC location in Wisconsin Rapids. This last year, 2023, we opened a satellite clinic in the Stevens Point ODC. And so we're continuing to raise awareness for mental health needs in our communities, and also raising money. So we are looking for sponsors and participants for Friday, May 31st of 2024 to join us at Sand Valley, play some golf, have a good time, enjoy some delicious food, and support our clinics, our Opportunity for Hope clinics.
There's one of the biggest things to happen in this area in the last 5 to 10 years is Sand Valley, and what is going on with that situation in Rome, and how much that has blown that area up, and how much that has benefited local communities and cities nearby. We shout out them and appreciate them, because part of the other reason I think they have been successful is things like this. Sand Valley got right away. We want to incorporate, we want to work with the community. We want to sponsor things. We want to be a part of things. We want to be a go-to place for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I see them all the time doing things like this. That's very noteworthy to me.
Great.
So put that out there right away.
Yes, thank you to them. They have been a great partner to work with over the years, and they get us, they get our mission, they support it, and again, can't say enough good things about Sand Valley.
Also in that stretch of time, we've seen a rise in talking about mental health and paying attention to that and caring about that. And I think as a society, I don't get to say this very often, I'm really proud of our society on this front, where especially in the States here, we have been on the forefront of talking about mental health and opening up about it and sharing it. But now the real work needs to get done, where, okay, we've talked about it as a kind of like as an outsider thing. Now we got to start looking at ourselves and start dealing with our own mental health and everything and helping each other with that. And that's where these mental health clinics have come in so key in the last year or so, having them, whether it's the one here in town in Rapids, the satellite location in Point, all are important, all are key. It benefits everybody with this, and it's only going to be more and more as we go forward here. Mental health, the conversation's not going away. So having an event like this, and your business being a part of it, I just touched on a number of things that are key to selling your business, to promoting your business, to good PR. There is no price tag you can put on good PR. We talk about this a lot. There's a lot of businesses in town that you know their name because they attach to so many nonprofit events.
Right.
They put back into this community. It's so important to our individual, to our community members, to support businesses like that. So that right there is a key and a great way to reach out to the ODC and be a part of this great event. There's also so many other great benefits of that. We encourage people to do that. The event itself is going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, but you're right. There is a deeper meaning behind it. So if mental health is a cause that you care about, that maybe has touched your family, friends, I mean, everybody knows somebody who has needed mental health services, and we're just happy to be that provider. Like you said, we have our clinic in town. We do go into the community. We have our satellite clinic in Stevens Point. We also, this last year, launched 3 school satellite sites in Pittsville, Nakusa, and Junction City. So we're trying to go where it's most convenient for those who need those supports, and maybe the hours don't work or they can't get transportation to the clinic. We're coming to those people, and in order to provide those services, we do need to do fundraisers, and so this is just one way to support. So please save that date, Friday, May 31st. Get in touch with us ahead of time. We'll be launching the event after the new year on our Facebook page, but you can always email me directly, cjohnson@odcinc.com, or call 715-818-6468. And I'd be happy to talk with the local businesses about this event specifically.
We'll get that information out there again before we wrap up today. Okay. And as a dad, I love a good play on words. So the Four Hope Golf Benefit, it's really well played. Four. I like that. I like that.
So good.
Other good event coming, another big event or another big thing coming up in June as well.
Yep. So last year we did our first ever cash calendar raffle in the month of June. We sold tickets after the new year, and we drew winners every Monday through Friday in the month of June. And they were prizes. There were cash prizes anywhere from $50 to $500, depending on the day. Also, those squares were sponsored by local businesses. Mm-hmm. So we are bringing that back this year, and we'll be selling tickets in the first quarter of 2024. I believe they were 1 for $10 or 3 for $20. And that was a great way to engage our employees. They got really pumped about selling tickets, but also community members. I couldn't believe how many stopped in and were just buying them or taking them and selling them to their friends and family. And what was really neat was we live streamed, and we'll do it again this year on our Facebook page, all of the individuals who we support were involved in the drawing of the winners.
That was a lot of fun.
And so we felt like people got a little peek behind the curtains, if you will, just a little glimpse into what daily life at ODC is like.
Yeah.
And it was so fun for the clients to get involved and draw a winner and get so excited. And it was fun for everybody, because who doesn't love to win money? But yeah, we'll be bringing that back. So please stay tuned about how you can buy tickets to possibly win. You can help sell tickets. Just great ways. Or if you're a business who wants to sponsor a square anywhere from $50 to $500, please get in touch. And another great way to get your name on something that has a lot of eyes and goes a long way.
Our business owners out there, they live in this community, they live in this area, they know how big raffles are, they know how big calendars are. Our community just loves these kind of things. Getting your name on there, you know it's going to get seen by a lot of people, and they're going to see not only that your business and think about it, they're going to see your business attached to the ODC and you see you supporting your community.
Right, absolutely.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
One of our favorite events, I know personally one of my favorite events is coming up as well. Yes. Well, not coming up, but it's going to be in August.
Yeah, so for the last few years, we've done the Run, Walk, and Roll. It started in 2020, you know, the COVID year, where we weren't really sure if we could have an in-person event, and but we still wanted to support ODC, try to get together if we could, if it was outdoors or we could social distance, or if people could choose to just kind of run, walk, or roll on their own with their own close group of family or friends. So that's been successful year after year, and we've grown the event. And this year we're going all out to grow it even bigger. And we're putting a little creative twist on it, renaming it to Run, Walk, Rock and Roll.
I like this.
It gets hard to say, but like Run, Walk, Rock and Roll. Okay.
Oh, I like it. Yes.
So another great business to partner with, Rooted in Red.
Yeah.
They have graciously offered up a Saturday, August 24th, at their cranberry farm at Rooted in Red for us to gather. We're going to do the Run, Walk, to roll out there. We're going to have wagon rides. And so if you want to participate in the exercise portion of it, you'll meet there earlier in the afternoon. We'll all run, walk, and roll together. And then it'll be followed up with rocking and rolling.
Oh.
And Pam Ross, her band, one of her bands, the Antoinettes, is going to be opening the show and performing for a couple of hours. And then Southbound, who everybody loves, is going to be closing, or our headliner for the event. And we'll have raffles, we'll have food trucks, we'll have just so much fun. The cocktail bar will be open. We're hoping to have like a live kind of auction too.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of the details are still being worked out, but please save the date for Saturday, August 24th, for our Run, Walk, Rock and Roll for OEC.
I love that name. I love that name. I love this event. Great to have Pam part of the event, yeah. Certainly, and her ties to the ODC, of course, and I love the Antoinettes. God, I love that band.
They're so good.
We love Southbound. That's a fantastic band. So, you know, and a shout out to these bands and these local artists too. We have so many of them that you constantly see them a part of nonprofit events. They get it too. Support them as well. So as much as we talk about supporting these local businesses, buying local, supporting local also includes the arts. Please support them as well.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time.
The idea for the event is fascinating to me too. Especially what I appreciate about the ODC, and we have some other nonprofits like this, but I don't know many that are as great at this as you guys are. Where you have an event, it's doing very well, and it I think most people would expect just keep doing what you're doing. But you guys are always looking at ways to improve something or to make something even greater, even more fun, or include even more members of the community. I really admire that, especially when we think of the message of the ODC, of being a part of the community, reaching out to the community, and the community reaching out to you and your clientele. It's a win-win kind of thing there. That's a really fun event.
Yeah, we wanted to continue to do it, like you said, but kind of reinvented or just make it a little bit new. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, immediately thought of Rooted in Red. They do such a nice job with their events there. Yeah. And so what a great venue. And And you can still participate if you can't make the event, just like we've allowed in the past. It's super flexible. You get a T-shirt made, of course, produced right at ODC at our Ink Splash business. And, you know, businesses sponsor to get their names on the back of the T-shirts. And then the client, if you're a business that sponsors and you don't even want your T-shirts, you can donate them back. Mm-hmm. And the individuals who we support wear them. They love getting a T-shirt every year. It's so fun. And so, but this is just a new way that we can all gather in one location. Mm-hmm. And because, like I said earlier, we're across 13 counties. We're hoping all the individuals who we support can gather at Rooted in Red, and who doesn't love music, and just celebrate, include all the messages that we're trying to put out there, which is inclusivity and just how you can make a difference when you're all better together.
And that's just a glimpse of 2024 and the excitement and fun that we're going to have with the ODC and our community coming up in the next new year. That's a lot of great stuff there, Callie. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they reach you?
Call me directly, 715-818-6468, or my email, cjohnson@odcinc.com. Go to our website, which is odcinc.com. Or chat us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then the two ways to give back were odcinc.com/volunteer or odcinc.com/donate. Mm-hmm. Either
Nicely
one
done.
Works.
All of this off the top of her head too, everybody. Like, incredible work, Kelly. Nice job. We wish a good New Year's to you and yours, to everybody at the ODC. Please let them know how much we appreciate them and enjoy your New Year. And we're looking forward to hanging out again next month.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. We'll get out here on that, and we'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour, free, and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening
WFHR,
to
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.